gliding along the dark tunnel. "Don't be afraid," Anakin whispered. Padme smiled at him, her expression one of genuine calm. "I'm not afraid to die," she replied, her voice thick and soft. "I've been dying a little bit each day since you came back into my life."
"What are you talking about?"
Then she said it, and it was real and genuine and warm. "I love you."
"You love me?" he asked, overwhelmed. "You love me? I thought we decided not to fall in love, that we would be forced to live a lie, that it would destroy our lives."
But her words had brought a wash of contentment over him. "I think our lives are about to be destroyed anyway," Padme replied. "My love for you is a puzzle, Annie, for which I have no answers. I can't control it, and now I don't care. I truly, deeply love you. And before we die, I want you to know." Padme leaned against her restraints and craned her head forward, and Anakin did likewise, the two coming close enough for their lips to meet in a soft and gentle kiss, one that lingered and deepened, one that said everything they both realized they should have spoken to each other before, one that to them mocked their false heroics in denying the feelings they'd had for each other all along. The sweet moment was just that, though. A moment. For a crack of the driver's whip had the cart jerking out of the tunnel and into the blinding daylight, rolling onto the floor of a great stadium filled with Geonosian spectators. Four sturdy posts, a meter in diameter, were centered on the arena floor, each set with chains, and one holding a familiar figure.
"Obi-Wan!" Anakin cried, as he was pulled down from the cart, dragged over, and chained to the post beside his master.
"I was beginning to wonder if you had gotten my message," Obi-Wan replied.
Both he and Anakin winced as Padme was similarly, roughly dragged over to the post next to Anakin, and roughly chained up. They saw her curl a bit defensively, in what seemed a futile resistance. What they didn't see, though, was the resourceful Padme managing to slip out a wire she had hidden in her belt.
"I retransmitted your message just as you requested, Master," Anakin explained. "Then we decided to come and rescue you."
"Good job," came Obi-Wan's quick and sarcastic reply. He ended with a grunt as his arms were pulled up over his head, locking him helplessly in place. Anakin and Padme were receiving similar treatment. They could turn a bit side to side, though, and so all three were able to watch the arrival of the dignitaries, the masters of ceremony, faces they had come to know all too well.
"The felons before you have been convicted of espionage against the sovereign system of Geonosis," announced the lackey Sunfac. "Their sentence of death is to be carried out in this arena immediately."
The wild cheering deafened the doomed trio.
"They like their executions," Obi-Wan said dryly.
At the dignitary box, Sunfac gave way to Archduke Poggle the Lesser, who patted his hands in the air, calling for quiet.
"I have decided on an especially entertaining contest this day," he announced to more appreciative roaring. "Which of our pets would be most suited to carry out the executions of such distinguished criminals? I asked myself this over and over, and for many hours could find no answer. And finally, I chose..."
He paused dramatically, and the crowd hushed.
"The Reek!"
At the side of the arena, a gate was lifted and out stepped a huge quadruped with massive shoulders, an elongated face, and three deadly horns, one sticking up from its snout, and the other two protruding forward from either side of its wide mouth. The Reek stood as tall as a Wookiee, as wide as a human male was tall, and more than 4 meters long. It was prodded forward into the arena by a line of picadors, carrying long spears and riding creatures that were bovine in size, with elongated snouts. After the cheering died away, Poggle surprised the crowd by announcing,
"The Nexu!"
A second gate rose, revealing a large feline creature. Its head was an extraordinary thing, half the size of its body, and with a fang-filled mouth that could open wide enough to bite a large human in half. A ridge of fur stood straight in a line from head to rump, ending right before its whipping felinoid tail. Before the surprised crowd could erupt again, Poggle shouted, "And the Acklay!" And a third gate rose, and the most hideous creature of all rushed in. It moved spider-like on four legs, each ending in huge elongated claws. Other arms waved menacingly, similarly topped with claws that snapped in the air. Its head, crested by a long and wavy horn, was more than 2 meters above the ground, glancing about hungrily, and while the other two creatures seemed to need the prodding of the picadors, this one surely did not. This last one, the Acklay, seemed to be the true crowd-pleaser, especially to the young boy, Jango Fett's clone son, sitting with the dignitaries. Boba grinned and began reciting all that he had read of the deadly beast's exploits.
"Well, this should be fun. For them, at least," lamented Obi-Wan, watching the frenzy mounting around him.
"What?" Anakin asked.
"Never mind," Obi-Wan replied.
"You ready for the fight?"
"The fight?" Anakin asked skeptically, looking up at his chained wrists, then back at the three monsters, which had been milling about, and only now seemed to take note that lunch had been served.
"You want to give the crowd its money's worth, don't you?" Obi-Wan asked. "You take the one on the right. I'll take the one on the left. What about Padme?"
The two turned to discover that their clever companion had already used the concealed wire to pick the lock on one of her shackles and had turned her body about, facing the post. She climbed right up the chain to the top of that post, then went to work on the other shackle.
"She seems to be on top of things," Obi-Wan commented wryly.
Anakin looked back just in time to react to the charge of the reek. Acting purely on reflex, the young Jedi leapt straight up, and the beast plowed into the pole beneath him. Seeing an opportunity, Anakin dropped upon the beast's back and wrapped his chain about its strong horn. The reek bucked and tugged, tearing the chain free of the post, and they were off, the reek bucking and Anakin holding on for dear life. He slapped the free end of the chain at the side of the reek's head, and the vicious beast bit it and held on, its stubbornness providing Anakin a makeshift bridle. After downloading the schematics, R2-D2 had little trouble navigating the huge factory complex. The small droid rolled along, whistling casually to deflect any suspicion on the part of the many Geonosians milling about. None of them seemed interested in him anyway, though, and R2 thought he knew why. He had learned of a huge event taking place, a triple execution. He could easily enough guess the identities of the unfortunate prisoners. He wandered along a meandering course through the complex, avoiding as many Geonosians as possible, passing those he could not, with an air of detachment, trying not to look out of place. He knew that it would get more crowded as he neared the arena, though, and could only hope that the Geonosians there would be too distracted by the thrilling events to bother with a little astromech droid. Obi-Wan quickly came to learn why the Acklay was such a crowd-pleaser. The creature reared up high and came straight in at him. When Obi-Wan rushed behind the pole, the Acklay took a more direct route, crashing into the pole, its gigantic claws snapping the wood and the chain. Freed by the beast's fury, Obi-Wan turned and ran, sprinting right at the nearest picador, the Acklay in fast pursuit. The Geonosian lowered his spear at the Jedi, but Obi-Wan dodged inside and grabbed it. A sudden tug pulled it free, and Obi-Wan snapped it against the picador's mount, causing the creature to rear. Hardly slowing, Obi-Wan planted the butt of the lance in the ground and leapt, pole-vaulting the picador and his mount. Again, the Acklay took the more direct route, slamming into rider and mount, sending the Geonosian tumbling to the sand. Grabbing the picador up in the snap of a claw, the monster crunched the life from him. Atop her post, Padme worked frantically to free the chain. But already, The feline-like Nexu was leaping up to swipe at her with its deadly claws. She dodged, but the Nexu came on again. Padme whipped it with the chain. The beast didn't stop, its claws tearing into the pole as it climbed. Then, with a sudden burst, it leapt up to the top and reared before Padme, issuing a victorious roar. The crowd hushed, sensing the first kill. As the Nexu slashed, Padme turned in a circle the other way, and while the claws tore her shirt and superficially raked her back, she came around hard, delivering a solid blow across the beast's face with the free-flying end of the chain. The Nexu fell back off the pole. Padme leapt out and back, away from the creature and to the side, and let the chain tug her back, sending her in a spin about the pole. She tucked her legs as she spun, then double-kicked out, knocking the Nexu to the ground. Hardly pausing to consider her handiwork, she scrambled back up the pole, working furiously to free herself completely. The crowd gasped as one.
"Foul!" cried Newt Gunray in the dignitary box. "She can't do that! Shoot her or something!"
"Wow!" Boba Fett yelled in obvious admiration. Jango put his hand on his son's shoulder, enjoying the show every bit as much as Boba.
"The Nexu will have her, Viceroy,"
Poggle the Lesser assured the trembling Nemoidian. Gunray remained standing, as did everyone else in the box, as did everyone else in the stadium. The crowd gasped again, as Obi-Wan ran around behind the Picador's fallen mount, then launched the stolen spear into the neck of the furious Aklay. The beast screeched in pain and slapped the struggling Ori mount aside. Across the way, Padme continued to work the chain as the Nexu regained its balance and began to stalk back toward the pole. Finally, she was free. But the Nexu was right below her, looking up, drool spilling from its oversized maw, death in its eyes. It crouched, ready to spring, and got trampled into the ground by Anakin and his Reek mount. "You okay?" he called.
"Sure."
"Jump on!" Anakin cried, and Padme was already moving, leaping down from the pole to fall into place right behind Anakin. They passed the wounded and furious Aklay next, and Obi-Wan was quick to take Padme's hand and vault into place behind her. Boba Fett yelped in glee again, as did many of the Geonosians. Newt Gunray, though, wasn't quite so pleased.
"This isn't how it's supposed to be," he yelled at Count Dooku. "She's supposed to be dead by now."
"Patience," the calm Count replied.
"No!" Newt Gunray shouted back at him. "Jango, finish her off!"
Jango turned an amused expression Newt Gunray's way, and nodded knowingly as Count Dooku motioned for him to stay put.
"Patience, Viceroy," Dooku said to the fuming Gunray. "She will die."
Even as he spoke, even as Gunray seemed about to explode with rage, the Count motioned back to the arena, and the Nemoidian turned to see a group of droidicas roll out from the side paddock. They surrounded the Reek and the three prisoners, and opened and unfolded into their battle position, giving Anakin no choice but to pull back hard on the makeshift rein and halt the creature.
"You see?" Dooku calmly asked.
The Count's expression changed, though, just for a moment, as a familiar hum began right behind him. He glanced to his right quickly, to see a purple lightsaber blade right beside Jango Fett's neck, then turned slowly to regard the wielder.
"Master Windu," he said with his typical charm, "how pleasant of you to join us. You're just in time for the moment of truth. I would think these two boys of yours could use a little more training."
"Sorry to disappoint you, Dooku," Mace coolly replied. "This party's over."
With that, the Jedi Master gave a quick salute with his glowing lightsaber, the prearranged signal, and then brought the blade back in close to Jango Fett. All about the stadium came a sudden and synchronized flash of lights as 100 Jedi Knights ignited their lightsabers. The crowd went perfectly silent. After a moment's reflection, Count Dooku turned about just a bit, looking back at Mace Windu out of the corner of his eye.
"Brave," but foolish, my old Jedi friend. You're impossibly outnumbered.
I don't think so, Mace countered. The Geonosians aren't warriors. One Jedi has to be worth 100 Geonosians.
Count Dooku glanced about the stadium, his smile widening.
It wasn't the Geonosians I was thinking about.
How well do you think one Jedi will match up against 1,000 battle droids?
He had timed it perfectly. Just as he finished, a line of battle droids came down the corridor behind Mace Windu, their lasers firing. The Jedi reacted at once, spinning about and flashing his lightsaber to deflect the many bolts, turning them back on his attackers. He knew that these few droids were the least of his troubles, though. For as he glanced around, he saw the source of Dooku's confidence. Thousands of battle droids rolling along every ramp, in the stands, and out into the arena below. The fight began immediately, the whole stadium filling with screaming laser bolts, Jedi leaping and spinning, trying to close into tight defensive groups, their lightsabers deflecting the bolts wildly. Geonosians scrambled all about, some trying to attack the Jedi and dying for their trouble, others just scrambling to get out of the way of the wildfire. Mace Windu spun about, recognizing that his most dangerous enemies were behind him. He faced Jango Fett, and found himself looking down the barrel of a stout flamethrower. A burst of flames reached out for the Jedi Master, igniting his flowing robes. With both Dooku and the Bounty Hunter so close, and in such a vulnerable position, Mace just leapt away, lifting himself with the force to fly out from the box and land in the arena. He pulled the burning robe from his back, throwing it aside. All around him, the fight intensified, with Jedi battling scores of Geonosians in the stands, and many other Jedi rushing down to the arena floor to join the battle against the largest concentration of battle droids. Mace winced when he spotted Obi-Wan, Anakin, and Padme sent flying into the air by the terrified and bucking Reek. He motioned to other Jedi, but needn't have, for those closest were already rushing toward their vulnerable companions, throwing lightsabers to Anakin and Obi-Wan. When those two ignited their blades, Anakin's green and Obi-Wan's blue, and Padme came up between them, a discarded blaster pistol in hand, Mace breathed a bit easier. But for only a moment. Then the Jedi Master was a blur of motion once more, working his blade furiously to turn back the storm of laser bolts screaming at him from the multitude of battle droids. He joined Obi-Wan near the center of the arena soon after, and back to back, they went into action, moving into a crowd of droids, taking down several with deflected bolts, then slashing through, turning in unison as they went. Obi-Wan went at one droid with his lightsaber up high, but when that droid lifted its defenses appropriately, the two Jedi turned about, Mace coming around with his lightsaber down low, shearing the droid in half. Behind Mace Windu and Obi-Wan, Anakin and Padme fought in a similar back-to-back posture, with Anakin working in a mostly defensive manner, deflecting all the bolts coming at him and at Padme, while she picked her shots carefully, taking down droid after Geonosian. But despite all the gallant efforts, despite the mounds of slaughtered enemies, Geonosian and droid alike, the outcome was beginning to show clearly, as the Jedi were being pushed back by sheer numbers. The general retreat flowed toward the arena, though that area would provide little respite. In addition to the droids and Jedi, the two monsters rushed about crazily, destroying everything in their path. Into this maelstrom marched C-3PO, his body at least, with the head of a battle droid fixed firmly upon it. Shortly, however, the motley droid caught a blaster bolt in the neck. Down it went, the battle droid head bouncing free of the torso. Across the arena, in a tunnel and marching toward daylight, 3PO's head, attached to a battle droid body, felt the sensation, but distantly.
"My legs aren't moving," he cried.
Though, of course, his present legs certainly were.
"I must need oil."
It was time for improvisation. Too wild a scene for coordinated and predetermined movements. Just the kind of fight in which Padme excelled. Firing a blaster with every step, she rushed to the same execution cart that had brought her and Anakin into the arena and scrambled atop the confused Ore pulling it.
Right behind her came Anakin, his lightsaber a blur of motion, turning laser shots back at the battle droids. He leapt into the cart, and Padme kicked the Ori away. They charged the circuit, bouncing across the fallen droids and Geonosians, Padme firing shot after shot, and Anakin sending an even greater line of destruction out by turning aside all shots coming their way. C-3PO entered the maelstrom, and if his eye sockets would have allowed him to widen his eyes in surprise and terror, he surely would have.
"Where are we?" he cried. "A battle? Oh, no. I'm just a protocol droid. I'm not made for this. I can't do it. I don't want to be destroyed."
This mixed-up droid lasted about as long as his other half had across the way. He came around to face the Jedi Master, Kit Fisto, who slammed him hard with a force shove, knocking him to the ground. Next, the agile Jedi did a pirouette movement, and with a vicious slice of his lightsaber, took down the battle droid that had been in line right beside 3PO. It collapsed on top of 3PO's prone form.
"Help! I'm trapped! I can't get up!"
3PO wailed, a call that caught the attention of none. Save one. R2-D2 rolled into the arena and wove his way about the carnage and danger. No number of battle droids could hope to separate Mace and Obi-Wan, so perfect were their movements, so attuned were they to each other. But the sheer bulk of the reek was too much, even for a pair of lightsabers, and when the furious beast charged at the two Jedi, they had no choice but to dive apart. The reek followed Mace, and he had to slash wildly to fend it off. He did manage to drive it back, but was butted and lost his lightsaber in the process. He came up facing the reek, and figured that he could outmaneuver it to get his weapon back easily enough. But then, an armored rocket man flew down in his path. Blaster leveled his way. Mace reached out with the force and brought his lightsaber flying to his hand, moving like lightning to parry Jango's first shot. With the second shot, Mace was more in control, and his parry sent the bolt right back at the bounty hunter. But Jango was already in motion, diving sidelong and coming around, ready to launch a series of shots the Jedi's way. He was stopped by the reek. Unable to distinguish friend from foe, the reek bore down on Jango. He scored a couple of hits, but they hardly slowed the beast, and he was tossed away. The reek charged him, trying to stomp him as he rolled about desperately. Jango was fast, though. Every time he came around, he fired again and again, his bolts burrowing into the furious reek's belly. Finally, the huge bullish creature swayed, and Jango wisely rolled out the far side, opposite Mace, as the beast collapsed. The Jedi was on him immediately, lightsaber weaving through the air. Jango dodged and lifted into the air with his rockets, trying to keep one step ahead of that deadly blade and to occasionally fire a bolt at Mace. The man was good, Mace had to admit. Very good. And more than once, the Jedi had to parry desperately to turn a bolt aside. He kept up his offensive flurry, though, keeping Jango on the defensive with sudden stabs and slashing cuts. One misstep, and then it happened, all of a sudden. Mace started to slash to the left, cut it short and stabbed straight out, then reversed his grip and sent the lightsaber slashing across, left to right. He spun a complete circuit, coming around to parry a blaster shot. But there was no shot forthcoming. That left-to-right reversal had cleanly landed. Jango Fett's head flew free of his shoulders and fell out of his helmet to settle in the dirt. Straight ahead, Obi-Wan told himself, as the Acklay came at him, its huge claws snapping in the air. He went left, then right, then rolled forward at the beast, between the mighty arms and snapping claws, coming around and over with his borrowed lightsaber, stabbing straight ahead, burning a hole in the creature's chest. The Acklay dived forward, trying to crush him under its bulk, and the Jedi leapt straight up as he connected. He came down on its back, landing lightly and stabbing repeatedly, before leaping away once more. "Straight ahead," he told himself again, as the enraged beast charged yet again.
Obi-Wan noted the blaster bolt coming at him from the side at the very last second, and turned his lightsaber down and under, deflecting the bolt right into the Ackley's face. The creature hardly slowed, and the Jedi had to throw himself to the ground to dodge a swiping, snapping claw. He rolled out to the side to avoid a stomping leg and managed to slash out again, cutting a deep gash. The Ackley howled and came on, and more blaster bolts came at the Jedi. His lightsaber worked furiously, brilliantly, turning one bolt after another right into the charging beast, finally slowing it and stunning it. Obi-Wan rushed in and leapt and stabbed, right in the face. He caught his foot on the creature's shoulder and ran right past it. He heard it fall behind him, thrashing in its death throes. But he knew that battle was done, and went back to work on the battle droids. That larger fight seemed far from won, and far from winnable. Mace Windu had finished with Jango Fett by then, and to the other side, Anakin and Padme continued their perfect teamwork behind the overturned execution cart. Anakin turned all shots aimed at either of them, and Padme picked off droid after droid. But even with that, even with all of the remaining Jedi fighting brilliantly in the arena, the droids continued to press in, herding them all together in a hopeless position.
R2, what are you doing here?
3PO asked, when his little friend rolled past his trapped body. In response, R2-D2 fired a suction cup grapnel from a compartment, attaching it firmly to 3PO's head.
Wait!
3PO cried, as R2 began to tug.
No! How dare you! You're pulling too hard! Stop dragging me, you lead-head!
He felt the sparking as his head tore free of the battle droid body. And then R2-D2 pulled 3PO's head over to its rightful body. R2 extracted his welding arm and began reattaching the protocol droid's head.
R2, be careful. You might burn my circuits. Are you sure my head's on straight?
More Jedi went down under the sheer weight of the laser barrage. Less than half of them were still standing.
Limited choices,
Ki-Adi Mundi said to the exhausted and bloody Mace Windu. Soon they were down to just over 20. All herded together, and in the stadium, all about them, stood rank after rank of battle droid, weapons leveled. And then, all movement stopped suddenly.
Master Windu!
Count Dooku cried from the dignitary box. His expression showed that he had truly enjoyed the spectacle of the battle.
You have fought gallantly, worthy of recognition in the archives of the Jedi. Now it is finished.
He paused and looked all about, leading the gazes of the trapped Jedi to the rows and rows of enemies still poised to destroy them.
Surrender, Dooku ordered, and your lives will be spared. We will not become hostages for you to use as barter, Dooku, Mace said without the slightest hesitation. Then I'm sorry, old friend,
Count Dooku said, in a tone that didn't sound at all sorry.
You will have to be destroyed.
He raised his hand and looked to his assembled army, prepared to give the signal. But then Padme, exhausted, dirty and bloody, raised her head to the sky above and shouted, Look! All eyes turned up to see half a dozen gunships fast descending upon the arena, screaming down in a dusty cloud about the Jedi. Clone troopers rushing out their open sides as they touched down. A hailstorm of laser fire blasted the new arrivals, but the gunships had their shields up, covering the debarkation of their warriors. Amid the sudden confusion and flashing laser fire, Master Yoda appeared in the drop door of one of the gunships, offering a salute to Mace and the others.
Jedi, move! Mace cried,
and the survivors rushed the nearest gunships, scrambling aboard. Mace climbed in right beside Yoda, and their ship lifted away immediately, cannons blaring, shattering and scattering battle droids as it soared up out of the arena. Mace could hardly believe the incredible sight unfolding before him, as thousands of Republic ships rushed down on the assembled fleet of the Trade Federation, dropping tens of thousands of clone troopers to the surface of the planet. Behind him,
Yoda continued to orchestrate the battle.
More battalion to the left,
he instructed his signaler, who relayed it out to the field commanders.
Encircle them we must, then divide.
After many minutes of a glow so bright that it hurt 3PO's eyes, R2-D2 retracted his welding arm and tootled that the job was finished. 3PO's head was back where it belonged.
Oh, R2, you've put me back together,
3PO cried, and with some effort, he managed to stand upright. He realized then, from the hailstorm of fire outside the arena tunnel, and with many of those bolts ricocheting inside, that he was far from safe. And so he turned and began to amble away. Unfortunately for him, though, R2-D2 had not yet disengaged the sucker projectile from his forehead. The cord went taut, and 3PO tumbled backward to the ground. R2 gave an apologetic whistle as he rolled by, disengaging and retracting the sucker as he went.
I won't forget this,
3PO cried indignantly. And he scrambled up again and shuffled off after his infuriating friend. With the gunships flying off and the battle droids in pursuit, Boba Fett finally found the opportunity to slip down onto the arena floor. He called for his father repeatedly, rushing from pile of carnage to pile of carnage. He passed the dead Ackley and then the Reek, calling for Jango, but knowing what had happened. Simply because his father, who was always there, wasn't there. And then he saw the helmet.
Dad,
the boy breathed, his legs giving out beneath him. He fell to his knees, beside Jango Fett's empty helmet. Chapter 24 Archduke Poggle the Lesser led Dooku and the others into the Geonosian Command Center, a huge room with a large circular view screen in its center, and many other monitors about the walls, where Geonosian soldiers could monitor and direct the widening battle. Poggle rushed to the side to confer with an army commander, then came back to Dooku and Newt Gunray, his expression fierce.
All of our communications have been jammed, he informed them. We are under attack, on land and from above.
The Jedi have amassed a huge army, Newt Gunray cried.
Where did they get them?
Dooku asked, sounding perplexed.
That doesn't seem possible.
How did the Jedi come up with an army so quickly?
We must send all available droids into battle, Newt Gunray demanded.
But Dooku, staring at the myriad of scenes, at the many battles and explosions all about the region, was shaking his head before the Nemoidian could begin to argue his reasoning.
There are too many, the Count said, his voice full of resignation. They will soon have us surrounded.
Even as he spoke, the three winced as the central screen flashed, showing the explosive destruction of a major Geonosian defensive position.
This is not going well at all. Newt Gunray admitted.
Order a retreat, said Poggle,
and he was trembling so forcefully that it seemed as if he might just fall over.
I am sending all my warriors deep into the catacombs to hide.
He nodded to several of his commanders as he finished, and they turned back to their comlinks, relaying the orders.
We must get our cores of our ships back into space,
one of Newt Gunray's associates cried. And Gunray was nodding as he considered the words and the devastating scenes of battle flashing across the viewscreens.
I'm going to Coruscant, Dooku announced. My master will not let the Republic get away with this treachery.
Poggle the Lesser rushed across the room to a console and punched in some codes, bringing up a holographic schematic. With a few keystrokes, he downloaded the schematic onto a cartridge and pulled it from the drive, turning to Dooku.
The Jedi must not find our designs for the ultimate weapon, the Archduke insisted. If they have any idea of what we are planning to create, we are doomed.
Dooku took the cartridge.
I will take the designs with me, he agreed. The plans will be much safer with my master. With a curt bow, the Count swept from the room. Obi-Wan, Anakin, and Padme crouched in the open side of a gunship as it sped across the expanding battlefield outside the arena, its laser cannons blaring, its shields turning back the responding fire from the droids. Below them, clone troopers rushed across the battlefield on speeder bikes, weaving their way and firing all the while.
"They're good," Obi-Wan remarked,
and Anakin nodded. Their attention went right back to their own situation then, as the gunship approached a huge Techno-Union starship and opened fire. Its laser cannons slammed away at the giant, but seemed to be having little effect. "Aim right above the fuel cells," Anakin cried to the gunner. With a slight adjustment, the gunner let fly his next burst. Huge explosions rocked the starship, and it began to tilt ominously to the side. The gunship and others rushing in nearby swerved aside as the great craft toppled.
"Good call!"
Obi-Wan congratulated his Padawan. Then he shouted to the crew,
"Those Trade Federation starships are taking off. Target them quickly."
"They're too big, Master," Anakin replied. "The ground troopers will have to take them out." The gunship roared across the widening battlefield, lasers blasting away, explosions erupting all about it, a scene of spectacular destruction and frenzy. Mace Windu shook his head and looked to Yoda.
"Capture Dooku, we must,"
Yoda said, his calm and steady voice, as strong an anchor as Mace could have asked for in that momentous moment.
"If escape he does, he will rally more systems to his cause."
Mace looked to the diminutive master and nodded grimly.
"Captain, land at that assembly point ahead." He ordered the clone driving his gunship, and the obedient pilot fast-settled the craft. Mace, Ki-Adi Mundi, and a host of clone troopers jumped out, but Yoda did not follow.
"To the forward command center, take me,"
he instructed, and the gunship lifted away. As soon as they put down at the relative safety of the position that had been secured as the command center, the clone commander rushed to the open gunship drop door.
"Master Yoda, all forward positions are advancing."
"Very good, very good,"
Yoda said.
"Concentrate all your fire on the nearest starship."
"Yes, sir."
The clone commander ran off, organizing his leaders as he went. Soon after, the forward groups began picking their targets in a more coordinated manner, and the concentrated fire succeeded where sporadic bursts could not, taking down one starship after another. The gunship slowed and banked suddenly, circling a droid gun emplacement, coming too fast around the back for the stationary system to swivel. A furious barrage destroyed the defensive position completely, but it did manage a single shot the gunship's way, rocking the craft hard.
"Hold on!"
Obi-Wan cried, grabbing the edge of the open drop door.
"Can't think of a better choice," Padme yelled back at him.
Obi-Wan turned to smirk her way, or started to. But then he saw a Geonosian speeder soaring away, an unmistakable figure in the open cockpit. Two fighters flanked the speeder, the trio heading fast away from the main fighting.
"Look! Over there!"
"It's Dooku!" Anakin cried.
"Shoot him down!"
"We're out of ordnance, sir," the clone captain replied.
"Follow him!" Anakin ordered.
The pilot put the ship up on its side, banking fast to turn into a straight run for the fleeing Count.
"We're going to need some help," Padme remarked.
"No,
there's no time," said Obi-Wan.
"Anakin and I can handle this." As the gunship began to close, the fighters flanking Dooku banked away suddenly, veering off left and right, turning to engage. The clone pilot of the gunship was up to the task, weaving his way through their fire, but then another blast rocked the ship, and with the vehicle up on edge, Obi-Wan and Anakin had to hold on tight and scramble to stay in. Padme wasn't so fortunate. One moment, she was beside Anakin, and then she was gone, tumbling out the open drop door.
"Padme!"
Anakin screamed. Everything seemed to be happening in slow motion, but so did he,
and he couldn't catch her, couldn't reach out fast enough. She tumbled down and hit the ground hard, and lay very still.
"Padme!" Anakin cried again, and then he yelled to the clone pilot, "Put the ship down!"
Obi-Wan was there then, standing before him, his hands on Anakin's shoulders, holding him steady and firm.
"Don't let your personal feelings get in the way," he reminded his Padawan. He turned to the pilot. "Follow that speeder."
Anakin pushed to the side, peering over his master's shoulder, and growled,
"Lower the ship!"
Obi-Wan turned to face him again, and this time, his look was not so sympathetic.
"Anakin," he said flatly, showing that there was no room for debate, "I can't take Dooku alone. If we catch him, we can end this war right now. We have a job to do."
"I don't care,"
Anakin yelled at him. He pushed out to the side again and yelled at the pilot,
"Put the ship down!"
"You'll be expelled from the Jedi Order,"
Obi-Wan said, his grim look showing no room for any argument at all. The blunt statement hit Anakin hard.
"I can't leave her,"
he said, his voice suddenly little more than a whisper.
"Come to your senses," said the uncompromising Obi-Wan. "What do you think Padme would do if she were in your position?"
Anakin's shoulders slumped. "She would do her duty," he admitted. He turned and looked back toward where Padme had fallen, but they were now too far off, and there was too much dust. Gunships screamed left and right, trading fire with laser cannon emplacements. On the ground, thousands of clone troopers battled the droids, and it was already becoming apparent that these new soldiers were indeed superior. One against one, a battle droid was nearly a match for a clone trooper, and a super battle droid even more than a match. But in groups and formations, the improvisation of the clone troopers, reacting to the fast-changing battleground and following the relayed orders of their Jedi commander, was quickly giving them all of the best vantage points, all the high ground, and the most defensible positions. The battle soon extended far overhead as well, as Republic warships engaged those Trade Federation ships that had managed to get off-planet, and those that had not yet landed. Most of those Trade Federation ships inside the asteroid belt and immediately within the perimeter of the battle were troop carriers, rather than battleships, and so the Republic was fast gaining the upper hand there as well. Over at the command center, an exhausted and dirty Mace Windu joined Master Yoda, the two sharing looks that combined hope for the present and fear for the future.
"You decided to bring them," Mace stated.
"Troubling it is,"
Yoda replied, his large eyes slowly blinking.
"Two paths were there open, and this one alone offered the return of so many Jedi."
Mace Windu nodded his approval of that choice, but Yoda only looked at the turmoil and destruction raging about him, and blinked his large eyes once more. Obi-Wan pushed past Anakin, moving toward the pilot.
"Follow that speeder."
The gunship did just that, zooming low. They found the speeder soon enough, parked outside a large tower. The gunship skimmed to a stop, moving a bit lower, and Anakin and Obi-Wan leapt out, rushing to the tower door. Hardly pausing, Anakin burst through, lightsaber in hand, entering a huge hangar with cranes and control panels, tugships and workbenches. They found Count Dooku inside, standing at a control panel, working some instruments. A small interstellar sail ship sat nearby, a graceful shining craft with a circular pod set on two lander legs, the retracted sails sweeping out to narrowing points behind it like folded wings.
"You're going to pay for all the Jedi you killed today, Dooku,"
Anakin yelled at him, moving indeterminately. Again, he felt the tug of a determined Obi-Wan holding him back.
"We move in together," Obi-Wan explained. "You slowly on the..."
"No! I'm taking him now!"
And Anakin pulled away and charged ahead.
"Anakin, no!"
Like a charging reek, the young Jedi came on, his green lightsaber ready to cut Dooku in half. The Count looked at him out of the corner of his eye, smiling as if truly amused. Anakin didn't catch the cue.
His rage moved him along, as it had with the Tusken Raiders. But this was no simple warrior enemy. Dooku's hand shot out toward the charging Jedi, sending forth a force push as solid as any stone wall, and a burst of blue force lightning, unknown to Jedi, charged all about the trapped and lifted Jedi Padawan. Anakin managed to hold on to his lightsaber as he went up into the air, held there by the power of the Count. With a wave of his hand, Dooku sent Anakin flying across the room to crash into a distant wall, where he slumped down, dazed.
"As you can see, my Jedi powers are far beyond yours," Dooku said with complete confidence and calm.
"I don't think so," Obi-Wan countered, moving toward him in a more measured and defensive manner. His borrowed blue lightsaber held across his body diagonally, up over one shoulder. Dooku smiled and ignited a red glowing blade. Obi-Wan stepped slowly at first, then came on in a sudden rush, his blue blade coming in hard, right to left. But with only a slight movement, the red blade stabbed under the blue, then lifted up, and Obi-Wan's blade went flying harmlessly high of the mark. With a slight reversal of his wrist, Dooku stabbed straight ahead, and Obi-Wan had to throw himself backward. He brought his lightsaber across as he did, trying to parry, but Dooku had already retracted his blade by then and had settled back into perfect defensive posture. Against that posture, Obi-Wan's sudden flurry of attacks seemed exaggerated and inefficient, for Dooku defeated each, one after another, with a slight parry or dodge, seeming barely to move. For while Obi-Wan and most of the Jedi were sword fighters, Count Dooku was a fencer, following an older fighting style, one more effective against weapons like lightsabers than against projectile weapons like blasters. The Jedi on the whole had abandoned that old fighting style, considering it almost irrelevant against the enemies of the present galaxy. But Dooku had always held stubbornly to it, considering it among the highest of fighting disciplines. Now, as the battle played out between the Count and Obi-Wan, the older way showed its brilliance. Obi-Wan leapt and spun, slashing side to side, chopping and thrusting, but all of Dooku's movements seemed far more efficient. He followed a single line front and back, his feet shifting to keep him constantly in perfect balance as he retreated, and came on suddenly with devastating thrusts that had Obi-Wan stumbling backward.
"Master Kenobi, you disappoint me," the Count taunted. "Yoda holds you in such high esteem."
His words spurred Obi-Wan forward with another series of slashes and chops, but Dooku's red blade angled left and then right, then up, just enough to send Obi-Wan's descending blade slipping off to the side. Obi-Wan had to retreat soon after, gasping for breath.
"Come, come, Master Kenobi," Dooku said, his lips curled in a wicked smile. "Put me out of my misery."
Obi-Wan steadied himself and shifted his lightsaber from hand to hand, getting a better grip on it. Then he exploded into motion, coming on again fiercely, his blue lightsaber flashing all about. He kept the better measure of his cuts this time, though, reversing his angle often, turning a wide slash into a sudden thrust. And he soon had Dooku backing, the red blade working furiously to keep Obi-Wan at bay. Obi-Wan pressed forward more forcefully, but Dooku continued to fend off the strikes, and then his momentum played out. He was too far forward, while Dooku remained in perfect balance, ready for a counterstrike.
Right.
And then it was Dooku suddenly pressing the attack, his red blade stabbing and retracting so quickly that most of Obi-Wan's cutting parries hit nothing but air. Obi-Wan had to jump back, and then back again, and again, as those thrusts moved ever closer to hitting home. Dooku stepped forward suddenly, stabbing low for Obi-Wan's thigh. Down went the blue blade to intercept, but to Obi-Wan's horror, Dooku retracted his weapon and thrust it right back out, up high and across the other way. Obi-Wan couldn't get his weapon back to block, nor could he slide back fast enough. Dooku's red blade stabbed hard into his left shoulder, and as he lurched back, Dooku retracted the blade and stabbed along its original course, digging into Obi-Wan's right thigh. The Jedi stumbled backward, tripping and crashing hard against the wall, but even as he fell, Dooku was there, his red blade rolling over and inside Obi-Wan's blade, and with a sudden jerk, he sent Obi-Wan's lightsaber bouncing across the floor.
"And so it ends," Dooku said to the helpless Obi-Wan. With a shrug, the elegant Count lifted his red blade up high, then brought it down hard at Obi-Wan's head. A green blade cut in under it, stopping it with a shower of sparks. The Count reacted immediately, backpedaling and turning to face Anakin.
"That's brave of you, boy, but foolish. I would have thought you'd have learned your lesson."
"I'm a slow learner," Anakin replied coolly. And he came on then, so suddenly, so powerfully, his green blade whirling with such speed that he seemed almost encased in green light. For the first time, Count Dooku lost his little confident smile. He had to work furiously to keep Anakin's blade at bay, dodging more than parrying. He tried to step out to the side, but stopped as if he had hit a wall, and his eyes widened a bit when he realized that this young Padawan, in the midst of that assault, had used the Force to block his exit.
"You have unusual powers, young Padawan," he sincerely congratulated.
His little grin returned, and gradually Dooku put himself back on even footing with Anakin, trading thrust for slash, and forcing Anakin to dodge and parry as often as he tried to strike.
"Unusual," Dooku said again, "but not enough to save you this time."
He came on hard, thinking to drive Anakin back and off balance as he had driven Obi-Wan back. But Anakin held his ground stubbornly, his green blade flashing left, right, and down so forcefully and precisely that none of Dooku's attacks got through. Off to the side, Obi-Wan understood that it couldn't hold. Anakin was expending many times the energy of the efficient Dooku, and as soon as he tired, Obi-Wan knew that he had to do something. He tried to come forward, but winced and fell back, in too much pain. As he collected his thoughts, he reached out with the Force instead, grabbing at his lightsaber and pulling it into his grasp.
"Anakin!" he called, and he tossed the young Padawan the blade.
Anakin caught it without ever breaking the flow of his fighting, turning it under and igniting it immediately, putting it into the swirling flow. Obi-Wan watched in admiration as Anakin worked the two blades in perfect harmony, spinning them over and about with blinding speed and precision. And he watched, with similar feelings, the working of Count Dooku's red lightsaber, flashing ahead and back with equal precision, picking off attack after attack, and even countering once or twice to interrupt the flow of Anakin's barrage. Obi-Wan's heart leapt in hope as Anakin charged forward suddenly, bringing his green blade over his shoulder and across, down at the Count. Obi-Wan understood immediately, even before he noted Anakin's blue blade coming up and over the other way. The green blade would push the Count's lightsaber out of the way, clearing the path for the victorious strike. But Dooku retracted impossibly fast, and Anakin's down-cutting green blade hit nothing but air. Dooku stabbed straight ahead, intercepting the blue blade. The Count's hand worked up inside and over, then back around with a sudden twist, launching the blue lightsaber from Anakin's grasp. Dooku went on the offensive immediately, driving the surprised and off-balance Anakin back. Anakin fought hard to regain his fighting posture, but Dooku was relentless, thrusting repeatedly, keeping the young Padawan stumbling backward. And then he stopped, suddenly. And almost on reflex, Anakin turned back on him, roaring and slashing hard.
"No!" Obi-Wan cried.
Dooku stabbed ahead and slashed out suddenly, intercepting not Anakin's green blade, but the Padawan's arm at the elbow. Half Anakin's arm flew to the side, his hand still gripping the lightsaber. Anakin dropped to the ground, grabbing his severed arm in agony.
Dooku gave another of his resigned shrugs.
"And so it ends," he said for the second time.
Even as he spoke, though, the great hangar doors of the tower slid open, smoke from the battle outside pouring in. And through that smoke came a diminutive figure, but one seeming taller than all of them at that moment.
"Master Yoda," Dooku breathed.
"Count Dooku," said Yoda.
Dooku's eyes widened and he stepped back, turning to face Yoda directly. He brought his lightsaber up to his face, shut down the blade, then snapped it to the side in formal salute.
You have interfered with our plans for the last time.
A wave of Dooku's free hand sent a piece of machinery flying at the diminutive Jedi Master, seeming as if it would surely crush him. But Yoda was ready, waving his own hand, force-pushing the flying machinery harmlessly aside. Dooku clutched up at the ceiling, breaking free great blocks that tumbled down at Yoda. But small hands waved, and the boulders dropped to the sides, bouncing across the floor all about the untouched Master Yoda. Dooku gave a little growl and thrust forth his hand, loosing a line of blue force lightning at the diminutive Master. Yoda caught it in his own hand and turned it aside, but far from easily.
Powerful you have become, Dooku,
Yoda admitted, and the Count grinned. But Yoda promptly took that grin away by adding,
The dark side I sense in you.
I have become more powerful than any Jedi, Dooku countered. Even you, my old master.
More lightning poured forth from Dooku's hand, but Yoda continued to catch it and turn it, and seemed to become even more settled in his defensive posture.
Much to learn you still have, Yoda remarked.
Dooku disengaged the futile lightning assault.
It is obvious this contest will not be decided by our knowledge of the Force, but by our skills with a lightsaber.
Yoda reverently drew out his lightsaber, its green blade humming to life. Dooku gave a crisp salute, igniting his own red blade. But then, formalities over, he leapt at Yoda, a sudden and devastating thrust, but one that never got close to hitting. With hardly a movement, Yoda turned the blade aside. Dooku went into a wild flurry then, the likes of which he had not shown against Obi-Wan or Anakin, raining blows at the diminutive Master. But Yoda didn't even seem to move. He didn't step back or to the side. Yet his subtle dodges and precision parries kept Dooku's blade slashing and stabbing harmlessly wide. It went on and on for many moments, but eventually, Dooku's flurry began to slow, and the Count, recognizing the futility of this attempt to overwhelm, stepped back fast. Not fast enough. With a sudden burst of sheer power, Master Yoda flew forward, his blade working so mightily that its residual glow outshone even those of both of Anakin's lightsabers when he was at the peak of his dance. Dooku held strong, though, his red blade parrying brilliantly, each block backed by the power of the Force, or else Yoda's strikes would have driven right through. Just as he was about to launch a counter, though, Yoda was gone, leaping high and turning a somersault to land right behind Dooku in perfect balance, striking hard. Dooku reversed his grip and stabbed out behind him, intercepting the blow. He let go of his weapon altogether, tossing it just a bit, and spun about, catching it before it had even disengaged from Yoda's blade. With a growl of rage, Dooku reached in more deeply into the Force, letting it flow through him as if his physical form was a mere conduit for its power. His tempo increased suddenly and dramatically, 3 steps forward, 2 back, perfectly balanced all the while. His fighting style was one based on balance, on the back-and-forth charges, thrusts, and sudden retreats, and now he came at Yoda with a series of cunning stabs, angled left and right. Never could he strike low, though, for never did Yoda seem to be on the ground. Leaping and spinning, flying all about, parrying each blow and offering cunning counters that had Dooku skipping desperately backward. Dooku stabbed up high, turning the angle of his lightsaber in anticipation that Yoda would dodge left. But Yoda, as if in complete anticipation of the movement, veered neither left nor right, but rather dropped to the ground. The Count had already retracted the missed thrust and began a second stab, this time down low, but Yoda had anticipated that too and went right back up behind the stabbing blade. A sudden stab by Yoda had Dooku quick-stepping back even more, off balance for the first time, and then Yoda flew away up and back. The furious Dooku pursued, thrusting hard for Yoda's head. And in his rage, when his stab missed yet again, he reverted to a slashing attack. Yoda's green blade caught the blow, holding the red lightsaber at bay, locking the two in a contest of strength, physical and of the Force.
But well you have, my old Padawan,
Yoda congratulated. And his lightsaber began to move out just a bit, forcing Dooku back.
The battle is far from over,
Dooku stubbornly argued.
This is just the beginning.
Reaching into the Force, he took hold of one of the huge cranes within the hangar and threw it down at Obi-Wan and Anakin.
Anakin!
Obi-Wan cried. He grabbed at the plummeting crane with the Force, and Anakin, startled awake, did so as well. Even working together, they hadn't the strength left to stop its crushing descent. But Yoda did. Yoda grabbed the crane and held it fast, but in doing so, he had to release Dooku. The Count wasted no time, sprinting away, leaping up the ramp to his sail ship. As Yoda began to move the fallen crane harmlessly aside, the sail ship's engine roared to life. And all three Jedi watched helplessly as Count Dooku blasted away. As Anakin and Obi-Wan walked over to the exhausted Yoda, Padme rushed in, running to Anakin and wrapping the sorely wounded young man in a tight, desperate hug.
A dark day it is,
Yoda said quietly.
Epilogue.
In the gutters of Lower Coruscant, a graceful sailship glided down, its wings folding delicately as it went to its more conventional drives, settling easily inside the broken pavement of a seemingly abandoned building. Count Dooku climbed out of his ship, walking to the shadows at the side of the secret landing ramp, where a hooded figure waited. He moved before the shadowy figure and bowed reverently.
The Force is with us, Master Sidious.
Welcome home, Lord Tyranus, the Sith Lord replied. You have done well.
I bring you good news, my lord. The war has begun.
Excellent, Sidious said,
his gravelly voice hinting at a hiss. From underneath the dark shadows of his huge cowl, the Dark Lord's smile widened.
Everything is going as planned.
Across the city, in the somber Jedi Temple, so many lamented the loss of friends and colleagues. Obi-Wan and Mace Windu stood staring out the window of Master Yoda's apartment, while the diminutive master sat in a chair across the way, contemplating the troubling events.
Do you believe what Count Dooku said about Sidious controlling the Senate?
Obi-Wan asked, breaking the contemplative silence.
It doesn't feel right.
Mace started to respond, but Yoda interjected.
Become unreliable, Dooku has. Join the dark side. Lies, deceit, creating mistrust are his ways now.
Nevertheless, I feel we should keep a closer eye on the Senate, Mace put in,
and Yoda agreed. After some more quiet contemplation, Mace turned a curious gaze upon Obi-Wan.
Where's your learner?
On his way to Naboo, Obi-Wan answered, escorting Senator Amidala home. Mace nodded, and Obi-Wan caught a glimmer of concern in his dark eyes. Concern that Obi-Wan shared about Anakin and Padme. They let it go at that time, though, for there seemed greater problems at hand. Again, it was Obi-Wan who broke the silence.
I have to admit, without the clones, it would not have been a victory.
Victory?
Yoda echoed with great skepticism.
Victory, you say?
Obi-Wan and Mace Windu turned as one to the great Jedi Master, catching clearly the profound sadness in his tone.
Master Obi-Wan, not victory.
Yoda went on.
The shroud of the dark side has fallen. Begun, this clone war has.
His words hung in the air about them, thick with emotion and concern. As dire a prediction as anyone in the Jedi Council had ever heard uttered.
Senator Bail Organa and Mas Amida flanked Supreme Chancellor Palpatine as he stood on the balcony, overlooking the deployment of the Republic Army. Below them, tens of thousands of clone troopers marched about in tight formations. An orderly procession that brought them in files, ascending the landing ramps of the huge military assault ships. A deep sadness marked the handsome features of Bail Organa. But when he looked over at the Supreme Chancellor, he saw there a grim determination.
On distant Naboo, in a rose-covered arbor overlooking the sparkling lake, Anakin and Padme stood hand in hand. Anakin in his formal Jedi robes, and Padme in a beautiful blue gown with flowered trim. Anakin's new mechanical arm hung at his side, the fingers clenching and opening in reflexive movements. Before them stood a Naboo holy man, his hands raised above their heads as he recited the ancient texts of marriage. And when the proclamation was made, R2-D2 and C-3PO, bearing witness to the union, whistled and clapped. And Anakin Skywalker and Padme Amidala shared their first kiss as husband and wife.
This is Jonathan Davis. We hope you have enjoyed this unabridged production of Star Wars, Episode 2, Attack of the Clones, by R.A. Salvatore, based on the story by George Lucas and the screenplay by George Lucas and Jonathan Hales. This program was produced by David Rapkin and directed by Jacob Bronstein. Executive producer, Jacob Bronstein. Star Wars Episode 2, Attack of the Clones, is a production of Lucasfilm Limited, copyright 2002. All rights reserved, used under authorization. Music composed by John Williams. Music publishing by Warner Tamerlane Publishing Corporation and Bantha Music. Music Master Production, copyright 2002, Lucasfilm Limited. This has been a Random House audio presentation. All rights reserved.